going to call upon the moderator of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, Reverend David Mook, to come and open us in prayer and to give some remarks from the presbytery.
Let's all pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bless thee for the wondrous truth that we have been singing. And indeed, Lord, as we commence this meeting tonight, it is with the desire of our hearts that the Redeemer would be crowned, that all glory and honor would be brought unto Him, that in every facet of what we do here in this meeting this evening, we may be careful to ascribe to Him all the praise. We thank Thee, Father, for what this night represents. Thank Thee for the fellowship of the redeemed people. We rejoice in every life touched by the power of the gospel, lives transformed and taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son. O Father, tonight we ask Thy special blessing upon this meeting. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt direct everyone who is to participate, and grant that as we go through the meeting, we may be conscious of the outpouring of the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we are mindful again this evening that it is not by might nor by power, but by Thy Spirit that the work of God advances. So, Lord, show Thy Spirit in all His power, and grant, Lord, that in all things Christ Jesus will have the preeminence. We pray these things in His majestic name. Amen. You may be seated. Just at the outset of the service, I ask for a couple minutes so that on behalf of the presbytery, the members who are present here and their families who have accompanied them, we can give thanks to this congregation, to the ministers, the elders, the deacons, and all the members of the congregation for hosting the week of prayer, for your kind hospitality. It's always a great delight for us to come back to Greenville and to see again the evidence of what the Lord is doing. So I trust that as we have been in your midst, you will be encouraged to persevere in the work of the Lord. We thank every family who has hosted ministers and their families this week. We thank all who have helped in looking after the needs of meals. And we trust that the Lord will bless you richly for your kindness to us. We pray for you, and we trust that the Lord will continue to bless you and to bless His servants who labor here, our brother Bream, our brother Barrett, and of course Dr. Cairns, who's not with us this year. We trust that God will use you greatly in the days to come. I have to begin by saying that I am greatly indebted to this particular congregation for your help in the ministry in Atlanta. My name is Derek Bowman, and I'm ministering in Hiram, Georgia, which is about 30 to 45 minutes northwest of Atlanta. We've been there since May. We began services September the 3rd, and the Lord has greatly blessed. If you read The Current regularly, you'll find that most of the time my report has involved answers to prayer. And that has been the testimony of our church since the very beginning. And it seems as if on a Wednesday night we'll have a prayer request, and by Sunday, the Lord is answered. Or by the next Wednesday, the Lord is answered. And at one point, it was almost laughable. We prayer request Wednesday, the Lord answers. For many times, very specific and particular things. And it's been a great encouragement to us on that score. The Lord has brought families in. Some have come back a second time. Some have come back a third time. And we've had one family commit to the work. And one prayer request that I will leave before you. My wife gave a testimony
this afternoon to the ladies as they met for concerning an unsaved family that has been coming 3 out of the past 4 Sundays. We're praying, we have prayed since the beginning, that the Lord would mark our ministry with the salvation of souls. And this past Lord's Day, we had 4 unsaved people in the service. And we're praying that the Lord will minister to their hearts, that the Lord will bring them to Himself, and that they will be the first tokens of the Lord's salvation in the church in Hiram. I appreciate your prayers. Thank you very much.
Hello, folks. I'm Peter Cellini from the Lancaster Free Presbyterian Church. I feel like I'm home again. It's good to see all you folks. I was kicked out of the pew there, 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 and ended up on the dark side, so I do feel at home. Things have been going well in Lancaster. You know, we just moved up there about 7 months ago. We actually had our first service, the unofficial opening of the church on January 1st. And then we had the official building opening on February 1st. So within a month, we were able to get a building and get it open for business. We had a grand opening, if you want to say, April 1st, where we invited the community, invited some of the other churches. We had 70 people show up at that first meeting. The next meeting was Resurrection Sunday, and no one showed up. So that's the kind of thing you can expect in these new church plants. We have been blessed. We've had quite a bit of activity. We have one couple that's committed to the work. They come every Lord's Day. We have 2 more couples that come frequently, every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. They're still passing through. So that's been a blessing. We have many people. We're about an hour and a half from Malvern, so we get people that come from there. Also, we seem to be a tourist stop. Lancaster, you know, is quite famous for its Amish folks, so anybody that's interested in that seems to want to stop in our church, so we're grateful for that. So stop in. If you want some pasta on the Lord's Day, you can come for that. I have one prayer request that I would ask for your prayers on. The Lord has led me to a ministry there. Lancaster, there's a huge farmer's market there. It's about 5 or 6 acres, and they have booth after booth after table of produce and flowers and all kind of things that they sell, antiques. And for $20 a day, you can get a booth there. And so I've had a table there for a couple weeks with a sign for the church and Bibles and tracts and things to speak of Christ. It's a little discouraging because the lady who sits next to me she makes homemade dog biscuits. And it's as if she was giving them away because there's always lines there. Nobody wants to come talk to me. So pray for that. But it has been an opportunity to witness for Christ. It's an opportunity to witness for the church, and I believe that it's close enough to the church that many who go past the church actually know this market. So there's a good connection there. Just pray that the Lord uses that to help build up the work there. We do covet your prayers. We thank you for your prayers. We know that you pray for us down here. So, Lord, keep blessing you folks here. Thank you.
My name is Reggie Cranston from Port Hope, Ontario, originally from Belfast, Northern Ireland. It would be nice to be able to stand up tonight and give a report of our congregation increasing and church full and bringing in extra chairs, but unfortunately I can't give that kind of report because since we last met here and I gave my report then, some folk have left us, others have come and joined us, and the congregation remains about the same size. And we have the core members, of course, that are faithful in the place of prayer and worshipping with us on the Lord's Day. Now, under such circumstances, you take encouragement just wherever you can find them. Just before Christmas there, a policeman in the town came under great conviction and contacted us and came to the church, and we had the joy of leading him to Christ. And we've just heard lately that his mum and dad are planning and coming to our church as well. And so just that little token for good is an encouragement to us. Also, about 5 years ago, there was a retired couple came across Lake Ontario in a boat and for a two-week vacation. They had nowhere to worship, and they got onto the internet and they found our church, and they came. And they're from a free Reformed church in Hamilton, just the west side of Toronto. And they went back to their own church there and told others about our witness. And over the years, there have been folk come from free Reformed churches all around there over the summer months. And it's good, gives us some encouragement, a few more folk to pray to or to preach to. And then on the second Lord's Day of August, about three years ago it was, our brother Mr. James Fraser was preaching. And truly my congregation thought revival had come at last, because there was a family reunion amongst these free Reformed people, and about 60 of them arrived unannounced. We ran out of... I wasn't there that day, as I say, Mr. Fraser was there. And our people really thought God has answered prayer at last. Running to get extra hymn books, extra chairs, and the people just kept coming and coming and coming. And they were saying, imagine that, and our minister's not even here for it. So from that day on, I make sure I'm there on the second Lord's Day of each of August. So at least I get preaching to a full church just for one Lord's Day at least. But we have become very good friends with these folk and had the opportunity to preach in one of their churches as well. And we keep in contact over the year, and it's good to have them, and they're of a kindred spirit. And so do please remember the work in Port Hope. I think of we've been praying in the church that God would move by His Holy Spirit. Really, that's where we've been brought to. We've gone around the town with invitations five times with no response. Had a radio broadcast for 3 years, no response. And we've come to the realization that we need the Spirit of God to work. And as our moderator quoted there, those words, it's not by might nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Thank you.
Let me say it's a joy to be here. And I always enjoy coming back to Greenville and renewing fellowship. I have been in Denver for 8 years. My name is Dave DeCanio. And those of you that know me remember that I went out there because of the Columbine High School shootings and had the opportunity to minister to many young people. Well, 3 years ago, I started working for our mission board and laboring out in Northern Ireland and on some of the fields doing video work. I believe very much that was of the Lord. And 1 year ago, and I determined getting up here I would not be emotional. I had to really pray about that. But those of you that know me, it's very difficult. This is an emotional week of prayer for me because it is a real change. But a year ago, I felt very much just before we went to the Congress in Northern Ireland that the Lord was leading me in a different capacity, but I didn't have a clear word from the Lord and didn't really say anything to anybody. But after the week of prayer in October, Mr. Wagner had preached and made a statement that years ago in Vancouver, when the Lord came down in power, that the men felt that they needed to fast and pray before the Lord. And that impressed me to seek the Lord and pray when I came back from that week of prayer and for 4 days over my heart desiring to work in a different capacity. And the Lord did show me very, very plainly beyond a shadow of a doubt through a number of tokens and through scripture as well. I sought the Lord very clearly to stay on the McShane chart, which I don't always do because I don't like to be a slave to it. I think Dr. Cairns taught us that. But the Lord showed me very clearly that He was leading me in a different capacity. And the scripture that he mainly showed me was interesting. One of our ministers had mentioned to me Elijah and how he left the brook Cherith. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And I said, well, I'll stay away from that passage. And I didn't even realize that was my next day's reading. That wasn't the only thing. There were other things as well that very clearly I put before the Lord as a token. And so I'll be finishing up in Denver at the end of August in the will of the Lord, and be laboring for our mission board in a broad capacity, doing video work, and particularly, well, just for 4 months, helping in Kenya until they can get someone into the Bible college teaching there. They're hoping to have, it's a temporary thing, I'm not called to as a missionary to Kenya, but to seek to labor. So pray for me, if you would, that the Lord would use me and direct me and guide me. I want to just ask in closing for you to pray. Some of you know that I'm working on a personal project, but it's a project that's going to affect our denomination, a documentary on the subject of ecumenism, and we don't want to forget our history. Because if we forget our history, we will go apostate. There's absolutely no doubt about that, and we need the Lord. And I have felt burdened. As you know, our denomination made the news in the 50s and the 60s particularly. And it's been very difficult finding that news footage. No one knows where it is. The BBC said the building burnt down by fire. And I made this a matter of prayer. And just a month ago, if you know anything about doing documentaries, it's hard to tell a story if you don't have any footage. And an intern from Queen's University, who I think the Lord put just in my path, Queen's University in Belfast, found a canister in the basement of one of the television stations. And what struck me was, this is footage that could not be found of our denomination, of Dr. Paisley and the battles that we had, the protest march, and other things if you know our history. And he found a whole stack of stuff that was there. It's absolutely fascinating. I'm not giving it out. It's all in my archives now, but some of it I am going to use. But pray for that project, because I believe it'll be used of the Lord, and I trust the Lord will use it, particularly for our young people, that they will see the stand that this denomination in Ulster took, which in many ways is the same stand here because it's a biblical stand. So thank you very much for your prayers for me.
It's good to be back in Greenville also, and to renew fellowship with you here in Greenville. My name's Aaron Dunlap. I'm laboring for the Lord on Vancouver Island in British Columbia. You probably don't know where that is. If you look at a map and find Seattle, just north of Seattle, and 25 nautical miles across the Juan de Fuca Strait from Port Angeles. Beautiful part of the world, as Dr. McClelland keeps reminding me. And if you're ever in Canada, it's a place to visit. But it's good to be back in Greenville. I bring you greetings from the congregation there and from my wife. For those of you who got to know my wife when we were here, she says, say hello to everybody. Say hello to this person and this person and this person. Well, if you know her, consider that done. Because I haven't time. I have 3 minutes to do it tonight. The Lord has blessed us since we went. The work on Vancouver Island has been going now 3 years. I was 2 of those years here in Greenville in seminary, and our brother Derek Bowman was there in his internship and assistantship up there. The Lord blessed the work then, kept it going. And since I've gone in July last year, the Lord has his hand upon it. We have gained numbers, we have lost some, and we have seen some come and go. But overall this year, as our people keep reminding me in the place of prayer and on the Lord's Day, the Lord has blessed the work. We have many people coming in who are scarred by new evangelicalism, scarred by ecumenism, scarred by the downgrade of the Christian church. And that's the people that we're ministering to, seeking to guide them and direct them and redirect them and rewrite their theology for them, because in many cases they have none. And what they have is destructive to Christian living. And so the Lord has blessed us and brought in families. One young man in a Christian school, so-called Christian school, was defending the scriptures in his classroom, 15 or 16 years old. And the teacher pointed, she says, "Oh, you're one of those fundamentalists," in the original use of the term. And he went home, he hadn't heard of a fundamentalist. He went home and looked it up,
and discovered I'm a fundamentalist. And he has found us, and he loves the Word. He loves to defend the Scriptures. He loves to read it, and he loves to talk about it. 17 years old. Pray the Lord will bless him, Zach, he's called. Loves the Lord. And as Dr. Barrett keeps reminding us, rightly so, we need young men for the seminary. And Zach would be one who I have in mind to pray to that end. Pray that the Lord will bless the work, that the Lord will continue to grow it. We've seen progress in the past year. Pray the Lord will continue to show his hand of mercy on us there in Victoria. Thank you.
My name is Derek Irwin, and I have been in Orlando for the past 3.5 years. And we're thankful for the good hand of God upon us, for his mercy, for his grace, and for his goodness. I would just like to leave four things with you, four things that would summarize the needs in the church in Orlando. First of all, our fellowship is good. And I'm so thankful for that fellowship. That is very, very encouraging. But then secondly, our families are few. And I think that is something that many of our churches have experienced. Our families are few. And then there's another point for prayer. Our finances are low. It's a common problem. And we need to look to the Lord for his help in this respect. And then our future is in God's hands. And I would ask you to pray with us and pray for us that the Lord in his infinite grace would come again to visit his vine in Central Florida, and that the floodgates of heaven will open, and that indeed there will be the sound of abundance of rain. On a personal level, we have been seeking to get our green card that will give to us permanent residency here in the United States. We have encountered many, many problems. We're still looked upon as resident aliens, whatever that means. But pray for us. We've had our shots. We've had our medical. We've had all of these things. I had to get 3 shots in this arm, and then she wanted some blood. And she went in again for the 4th time, and she said, I can't get blood. She said, you must come from Ballymena because you refused to give blood. So then she went to the other arm. And that made it even 10 times worse. But the results are back okay. Everything is well there. But pray that God will be pleased just to help us in this respect. And that very soon that we will get the confirmation that we will have our green card. And that will allow us to remain for a future time in the work of God in Orlando. Thank you for your hospitality, for your kindness, for your gift, and for your prayers. And remember as much in the days to come that God will visit his vine, and that his word will be preached faithfully. Christ will be lifted up. At the end of the day, that's our message. Christ and him crucified, the only hope for lost sinners. And what a joy it is to be involved in the church that holds to that old message and preaches Christ and him crucified. Can we not all say tonight, yea, he is altogether lovely. He's the fairest of 10,000 to your souls. And may the Lord be pleased to bless not only in Orlando, all of our churches. God will come in great power and do a lasting work in our midst. So that the next time we come, that we will all be able to tell of the increase of new families being brought in, of souls being saved by the grace of God, and the kingdom of God on earth established for the glory of His name. Thank you very much.
My name is David Fletcher. I'm from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Well, from my accent, you know that's not where I originated, where I came from, Northern Ireland. The congregation in Calgary has been in existence 27 years. 1st of June 1980, the Reverend Billy Whiteside came out from Northern Ireland to found the new congregation in that city. And I have been the minister there for the last 17 years. During that time, we've known our highs and lows, our ups and downs. And we can say, in the midst of it all, facing the fury, the onslaught of the enemy and times, the Lord has been faithful. The Lord has preserved us, preserved the work, and for that we will be giving glory to His name, not only now, but for all eternity. I want to thank this congregation for their prayers for us. As you know, last year I was off for some time due to illness, and the Lord has been gracious again in answering your prayers, the prayers of the entire denomination, for our recovery. A very wonderful way last September the Lord laid His hand upon us and brought us again into a state of health where we could continue the ministry in the congregation. So we're thankful for your prayers, for your support, for your words of encouragement. Just recently, just 2 weeks ago, I received a tremendous boost, a tremendous word of encouragement, and I've been living on a high ever since. Sunday evening, just before the evening service, my 18-month-old daughter, Abigail, was walking down the aisle of the church before the service, and I was walking after her, and there was a visitor in, and he was just sitting at the side of the pew, and he said, "Oh, Pastor, is that your granddaughter?" So, been living up in the clouds ever since. Wonderful. Calgary, Alberta is a fast-growing city. One of the wealthiest provinces in Canada is the province of Alberta. Has rich in oil and natural gas resources, and there are people coming in from all over the world. The population of Calgary reached over 1 million last year. And what we want to ask you to pray for is, first of all, that the Lord will give us an increasing vision for the lost who are all around us. I feel that sometimes one of the tendencies that we have as God's people is that we can become in our congregations maintenance-minded instead of mission-minded, seeking to hold the ground that we have. And I think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when He said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white already to harvest." And all around us we have people from every kindred, tribe, tongue, people and nation. And we want to pray that the Lord will give us that vision for them. And with vision, of course, we need passion. We don't want to become formal, going through the motions merely of ministry. We want the Lord to give us a real heart for Christ above everything else. As our brother has just talked about, the one who is altogether lovely, that our hearts might burn within us as we think about Him and His glory, and have a desire that others too might come to trust and treasure Him and be transformed by Him. So pray that we will have an increasing vision and an increasing passion for Christ and for the lost, and also that we will have the unction, the power of the Holy Spirit. It has been quoted already tonight a number of occasions that it's not by might nor by power, but it is by My Spirit, saith the Lord. So those three things, vision, passion and unction, the great necessities for every congregation within our denomination. Specifically, pray that the Lord will help us to reach the community in which the church is located. We live in a community where there are many immigrants coming in from all over the world. Pray that the Lord will help us to reach them. Pray that within the congregation, those who have been coming, and we're thankful for those who have been coming and staying with us over this last year. We've got quite a number of families coming, and recently we've had more have come in through both outreach ministry and the radio broadcast as well. But pray that there will be a commitment to the church. People will not just be coming, as it were, Sunday morning only, as Dr. Paisley used to talk about, but people will be committed to the work of God in this church and committed to the evangelism that we seek to carry out. One other request, and I'm finished. We commenced this year a Good News Bible Club. We used to have a kids' club on a Tuesday night. That didn't work out too well. We've moved the Good News Bible Club for the children to a Friday afternoon with the intention of trying to reach more of the unsaved children around the area. And we do have now families coming in from outside the congregation or sending their children to that Good News Club. Pray that the Lord will use that, that these children will be saved, and that they will take the gospel into their homes, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in the salvation of many souls. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Andy Foster, and for 10 years we've been working in Penticton, British Columbia. It's rather interesting the way the alphabet has worked tonight, in that with Mr. Fletcher from Calgary, then me from Penticton, and then Mr. Gallagher from Cloverdale. Most of the Western Canadian gang, one after the other. But it's been a joy to be here. On my way down here, the Lord impressed a scripture on my heart. I've been reading my own reading through the book of Exodus, and was impressed with that passage that speaks of the mercy seat there. I will meet with thee and commune with thee. And certainly our time here has been a time of refreshment and blessing, and it's been a joy to be here at the week of prayer. Let me just personally thank our hosts for the week, the gardeners. We do appreciate their hospitality, and for the congregation at large, for your kindness to us. We do thank you in the Savior's name. My wife Jill and two children, Cameron and Charlotte, are not able to be here on this occasion, but we certainly would value your prayers for us as a family as we continue to labor in the city of Penticton. As I've said, we just marked our 10th anniversary there this year, back in February, and we certainly have known the Lord's help over those years. At times it does get a little wearying and a little difficult to go on, but we have much to give thanks to the Lord for. Our work remains small. We have 18, 20 people that we can count on usually being there at the services. And it fluctuates a little bit from time to time with visitors coming. We've had a couple of young families in recent weeks have joined with us, and I'm not sure whether that will be an ongoing feature of the work or not. But we would encourage you to pray for us. Our needs are similar to the needs you have heard already and will hear repeated again, no doubt. We need to see additions to the church. We need to see families brought in. We'd love to see children in our Sunday school. Numbers there are very small, and we do pray that the Lord will add young children and young families to the work there. We have had folks come, and some that have come and stayed with us, and who rejoice in the gospel witness and ministry there. But do pray that the Lord will add to the work. Pray for our radio ministry. We have a local radio ministry every week there. There's never a great deal of response to it, but we do know that there are those that are listening, and we have opportunity to spread the quarterly magazines through a number of Christian bookstores in the Okanagan. Pray that the Lord will bless those. We hold a monthly meeting in the city of Kelowna, which is an hour north of Penticton, and we've had some folks visit there in recent times because they picked up the quarterly in their local Christian bookstore. Pray that the Lord will be pleased to bless those meetings, and maybe even through time turn into a second church in the Okanagan. We don't know. We're not planning that right now, but it would certainly be a blessing if that were to occur. Do pray that the Lord will send us his power, that we will know even as we gather together, meeting by meeting, that there the Lord will meet with us. That's what we want. That's what we desire. And we ask that you will remember us to that end, please, in prayer. Thank you again for having us. It's been a joy to be here. The Lord bless you richly. Thank you.
considering how long it's taken so far, I'm glad I'm not Zadok from Zanzibar. So far we've heard of doggy biscuits. Another guy's had all his shots. And another one got high when somebody told him he looked like a grandpa. So, follow that. My name is Stephen Hamilton, unless you didn't already know that. I am a permanent resident alien. And I have an appropriate colour of card. It's green. And I just want to thank the congregation here for their kindness, their hospitality, their prayers, and their practical support of our work in Allentown. I want to say a special thanks to our host's family. They're my daughters. We still haven't forgiven the Greenville Church for stealing them, but we're glad they're in good hands, and it's been good to see them again. I'd like to also just add a personal note of thanks about my father. Many of the folks here will know that my dad had a very serious surgery. He has quite a few of those in his life, and he had esophageal cancer, had a major surgery last October for that. He's doing very, very well. I just was over there, and we appreciate our whole family, the prayers that went up for my father. He almost didn't make it through the surgery, but the Lord yet had work for him to do. He has been preaching, he's been testifying, he's been singing in some of the churches, and praying for the work of God even in this part of the Lord's vineyard. So thank you again for that. Sometimes discouragement causes us to think that the Lord is not blessing us in any way, shape or form. And of course, we've been hearing some of that this week in one particular message. We are blinded sometimes to the Lord's blessings by discouragement. And there's a little hymn that says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." And sometimes when you stop to recount just what the Lord has done, rather than all the negatives associated with your work, it really is surprising. And I was just thinking of a few things that may encourage you concerning our work in recent days. Some years ago, our eldest daughter, Rachel, worked in a dental office. And she, at that time, had some friends in the office that she spoke to concerning the church. We never ever thought, really, I suppose, she may have, I didn't, that anyone would ever come to our church as a result of that job that she had there. But actually, not too long ago, a gentleman who had been listening to sermon audio decided to come along to our church. He's still coming along. That's about a year and a half now, which for us is really safe to say that he enjoys the ministry. As a result of his work, he goes around helping people who have physical problems. He has, I forget what the technical name for it is, but he takes oxygen and such like to people's homes. And it just so happened that one of the homes that he was taking this equipment to was that of a lady who had worked with Rachel in the dental office. And he apologized that he was late in coming that day with the equipment. It was a necessary job he had to do, but he had been at church. And when he told her what church it was, he said, "It's this Irish guy who's the pastor." And she said, "It wouldn't be Stephen Hamilton." He said, "It is. How did you know?" "Oh," she said, "I used to work with his daughter in the dental office. As a result of that, she came to the church next Sunday and has been coming ever since." That's probably a year or so ago. So that was a great encouragement. Then one Wednesday, I got a call from a family, and I didn't know who they were, no idea what they wanted, but they explained that they were outside our church and they couldn't get in. Well, it was during the day on a Wednesday, and the only churches I know that are usually open during the day are, from where I come from, are Roman Catholic chapels. And anyway, I explained that we didn't live at the church, but they said that they wanted to come along to the church. They actually said they wanted to join the church. They are an unsaved family. The man of the house was brought up Jewish, And he doesn't come to the church, though we've had contact with him. But he wanted his wife and his children to have some spiritual influence in their lives. They'd seen the church sign from down the street. And as a result of reading that sign, they just decided that would be good to try that church. And as a result of that, this woman and her two little girls come each Lord's Day morning. They're under the sound of the gospel, not only in the Sunday school, and that in itself was an answer to prayer because we'd had some departures in previous times. We didn't have a Sunday school class anymore. We'd prayed about that. The Lord answered prayer and has provided this little family, including the mother, for the Sunday school class. And she stays for church with the children. I see her taking notes. I see her trying to find the place that is being asked to turn up, and she turns to all the references that she can in the Bible that we gave her. This is a wonderful answer to prayer, and it is a true blessing that is not something that happens every day. And I'd like you to pray for that family. Their names are the Gottfried family, and pray that God would work in their hearts and lives and that he would save that family. Again, another blessing, and that is a man and his family had come to us some years ago because of some family difficulties and so on. They stopped coming to the church. I hadn't seen this man for about 5 years. And then he got in touch with me. He said he was listening to some of the sermons again on sermonaudio.com. He was asking me some theological questions, which I tried to answer for him. And as a result of our emailing back and forth, I arranged to go and visit him. And as a result of that visit, he said he wanted to come back to church. He has come back to church, and just in recent days, his wife has been coming with him. And that has been a true blessing. Sometimes you think when folks leave the work, they'll never come back. But there's a family who have been gone about 5 years who have returned. Then, of course, we got a young man from this congregation who has been a great encouragement to us, and that's Eric Annest. And Eric has been busy in missionary work because he has decided one of the best ways to build the work in Allentown is to steal one of the members from here and bring her back to the northeast where she belongs. And I see Mary here tonight with her mother. We're glad to see them. So soon Eric and Mary Granger will be united in matrimony in this place, and they will be setting up home there in Allentown. And we'll be very glad to have another member in our church. And that is a blessing as well. The Lord called me to the ministry through a text of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. And there are many times when that text comes to me in the most innocuous ways, when the Lord is just reinforcing to me the fact that he has called me to preach the word. And I don't suppose Mrs. Brame knows this. She's somewhere here tonight. But some years ago, the Brames came by our home. They'd visited our church there. And Joey's very good at this script writing. Calligraphy, okay. These technical terms. He hasn't even got his yet. That's a PhD for the non-initiated. Calligraphy. Anyway, Johanna, to give her a proper name, presented us with some beautiful calligraphy that she had done, and it was in a nice suitable coloured frame. But in that, there were two texts. One she'd put on top of the other, but the one she chose to put on top that we would hang on the wall is, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And I never got a chance to tell the Brames that, but what an encouragement that was to my heart even at that time. It now hangs in our bedroom. I look at it every day, and it's still a blessing. Pray for us, and thank you.
Well, I must say that it is a joy for my wife and I to be back in Greenville once again. Good to be in Grenville, as you all like to call it. Of course, I probably have retained some of the accent. I can put it on. We have a school play that we do, and I've been able to bring out the accent once again, but again, we're very thankful to be here and to have fellowship with you folks. Hard to believe that 4 years have already passed by, and we have been very busy in the city of Toronto. My wife and I, we've labored there and been involved in the work of God in that place, especially in the school. We have both been teachers, teaching in their Christian school there. But most recently, we have the privilege of starting another Free Presbyterian Church in Canada, in the city of London. Of course, I don't know if I told my name. My name is Michael Yonan, by the way. And we are very thankful for the opportunity to start a Free Presbyterian Church in London, Ontario. In fact, the Vanderfice family, the main family that we have there, they petitioned our Toronto church to begin a work in 2005. At that time, there was no one available to go and minister to them, yet they persevered and started holding Wednesday night prayer meetings and had a Let the Bible Speak radio ministry to start a church in that area. Well, while the meetings were going on in London, the Lord began to work in my heart, and the burden fell on me to get involved in the ministry there. And it was during a Sunday service before our last minister's week of prayer in October 2006 that a visiting minister spoke in Toronto on the text of Isaiah 6. And the text was, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." And I remember specifically the Lord speaking to my heart, directing me to get involved in that work. I'd been burdened about London. I've been thinking about the work and the people there and starting this church. And the moment that that text was preached on and referred to, it was like a dart to my heart. And I believe very firmly that the Lord is calling my wife and I down to London to start a work in that city. Now, London is about 2.5 hours from Toronto, so it is a bit of a commute for us. It's been hard going. We've been there for the last 6 months. We actually had our first service in that city on November the 5th, the first Lord's Day in November. And it has been quite challenging to be commuting down every Lord's Day. We are now presently holding a Sunday morning service and also an adult Bible class. But we have known the Lord's protection and help while we've been traveling. In fact, it was about 5 or 6 weeks ago or so that we actually got into a rainstorm and our car spun out on us. We hydroplaned on the highway, hit the center median, and our car was totaled. But we do rejoice and thank the Lord for His protection. And in fact, we were able to get a new car out of it. So my insurance broker thought that I'd done it on purpose, maybe, to get a new car. But no, that wasn't the case. But we have certainly been rejoicing and thanking the Lord for His protection. We have gone out into the area. We've mailed out a number of invitations. Also, the Toronto young people did come down and help us hand out approximately 2,000 Gospels of John. And invitations for our church. And we have seen some fruit from that. We've had visitors in, but at the moment we have two main families, and also we've had two gentlemen that have been starting to attend, and we've been rejoicing in that. Both originally come from Northern Ireland, and so, you know, go figure that they would want to come to a Free Presbyterian church. But one does travel a distance as well. He lives about an hour north of London, and he commutes down. He's with us probably every second or third week. But also another gentleman, he came as a result of our ad in the newspaper, and he also has some connections to the Canadian Protestant League. And this has been a real token for good for us, and we believe the best is yet to come. And so continue to pray for us that this work would be established quickly, and that we would see a work done for God in that city. I mean, it is a city of many churches, but unfortunately many of those churches are falling into declension. And a lot of them are very, I suppose, involved in the contemporary worship and so on. In fact, one of our men that attends, he drives a wheel trans bus, and he's often having to take people to these various churches. And people are going in their shorts and T-shirts and flip-flops, and there's a Bible under their hand, and you go into the church, and it's more like a concert than a worship service. And so we're really praying that the Lord would have a move in that area, that certainly the Spirit of God would move in hearts, and that people would reverence the Lord once again and join with us. And so continue to pray for this new work and that we would see great things done for the Lord. Thank you.
My name is Ray Middleton. I'm the minister of our church in Barrie. I want to thank you for this week. We've really enjoyed ourselves so far. We're staying with the younger Barretts. I was wondering, is it too late to change to the hotel? would like to thank Charlie and Bridget for putting us up. We've really enjoyed ourselves thus far. Barrie is a city of about 128,000 people. It's about 40 minutes north of the city of Toronto, which means that for about 4 or 5 months of the year, we indulge in the great Canadian pastime of shoveling snow. But it's a very big city, it's very spread out, it's a very hard city, and it's a very worldly one. All but one Baptist church in the town. Every other church, the Baptist church accepted and ourselves, are new evangelical. They're also given over to this contemporary Christian worship, in inverted commas. And I would like you to pray for the city, because last summer we gave out 10,000 copies, well, we mailed out 10,000 copies of the Gospel of John, along with the church leaflet. I got two responses, one from a man who was wanting to be taken off the mailing list, and the other from a Mormon who gave me some passages from the Book of Mormon for my encouragement. So you can understand how difficult and hard the work there is. This year we have a series of special events that we're advertising heavily in the papers. There's three special events this year. They begin at the end of this month. We have Richard Bennett coming to give his testimony, and we're advertising that. We've also got a week of meetings at the beginning of June, a six-night week of meetings with our brother, the Reverend David McClelland. I would ask you to pray for him. He doesn't, at this stage, I don't believe, know what he's going to speak about. In fact, I hope he doesn't mind me telling you this, but when I first approached him, he asked me, what would you have me preach on? And I said, well, you can preach what you like. And knowing my staunch premillennial convictions, he said, how about the glories of amillennial eschatology? I said back to him as quick as a flash, I says you can do that if you like, but what are you going to do for the other 5.5 nights? So I would ask you to pray for our brother and pray that the Lord will come by in power. We need to see the Lord move. We have another special event, and that is our first ever vacation Bible school. It'll be held in August, and I want you to pray that the Lord will save the children, and also that he will save the parents. We have a great mandate for that, based on the words of Scripture, a little child shall lead them. Providentially, I was reading a tremendous story just last week, written by Dr. T.T. Shields of Toronto. And in that book, he tells a story. I don't know whether it was him. I can't remember whether it was him or it was another minister who found themselves taking a Sunday school class. And this minister told the Sunday school class, he said, go home and ask your parents, are you a Christian? And if they say no, ask them why not. Now, obviously, it would take a very brave man to do that. But T.T. Shields records that there were over 40 conversions as a result of that happening. And I want you to pray with us that the Lord will move mightily in the city during that time, and that the Lord would even do a new thing in our midst, bring in people, bring in adults, and convert children. We don't have a children's work, and we'd dearly love to see one getting commenced. And I would like to thank you. A number of people have said to me this week, and to my wife, that you're praying for us, and I want to thank you for that, because that's how we're able to remain where the Lord has called us. And I trust that we'll all come rejoicing, bringing our she's with us.
I'm David Mook. I bring you greetings from the Free Presbyterian Church in Phoenix, Arizona, and from my assistant, Reverend John Baker, and his family as well. For 5 months out of the year, we don't worry about snow shoveling. We worry about whether the air conditioner is going to stay on. And those months have already started. Summer has already come to Arizona. We've been enjoying the nice winter weather here today. It's been very pleasant. This would be like our winter time in Arizona. So when I see in some of these reports that I have to read from the various churches items in the expense report, snow removal, I have to wonder what in the world we're coming to that we have to spend money to remove snow. Our solution is we wait till the sun comes out and then it goes away. I've been in Phoenix for almost 22 years now, and I was just thinking it was almost 22 years ago that I kneeled in this place and was licensed for the ministry of the gospel. We have been through our own ups and downs over the years, but the Lord has given us a group of faithful people and has added to that group during the last year, and we rejoice in the Lord's goodness. We had a man who professed he had been brought to Christ during the last year in the congregation. That was a great encouragement. The biggest challenge for us right now concerns a permanent meeting place. We still do not have one. 3 years ago when I was here, I spoke about a piece of land that the Lord had enabled us to purchase. We had thought, and we got as far as getting approval for a building on that land for the design, but the price of construction went up so rapidly that we could not afford to build. And as a result, we have decided to try to sell the land, which we're in the process of trying to do. And the Lord seems to have provided someone who wants to buy it if other circumstances can be worked out. The value of the land has increased in an incredible fashion to such an extent that in just less than 4 years, it has increased in value by probably over $500,000. And so we are trying to sell it and to purchase a commercial space that we can use for a church building. So that's our big need right now. We would ask you to pray about that. There are a lot of details. I'm not going to bore you with those this evening, but we believe that the Lord must open the way for us. We sought for a long time for the Lord to provide what was needed to build on that site, and the price kept going up and up, and we simply just could not afford to do that. And so the Lord has directed us through some advice we've received in this other direction, and we're looking for the Lord to intervene. Do keep us in prayer, and sometime during the winter, when you really want to see what a beautiful place is, you'll come out to Arizona and enjoy the winter time in Phoenix.
Good evening. My name is Joel Pankratz. I'm from Burlington, North Carolina. And again, I would just echo what the other brethren have said. They were glad to be back here in Greenville. It's been, I guess, 3 years about this time of the year. So it has been a little while. We do thank you, too, for your faithful prayers. And many of you men have come and helped us on the building in our remodeling stages there, especially with electrical work. So we thank you for that. And trust the Lord will bless you for that. I'd like to read a passage that's kind of been our theme, as it were, at least our experience. It's in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. It says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." It seems like since we started, just even trying to find the building, found the building fine, but trying to get the company that owned it to sign a lease took a while. And then after that, we got started with remodeling, and they ran into the inspectors, and true to their nature, they held things up for about 3 months, didn't do anything. So, but in that time, we'd been praying, been meeting with the inspector. It got to a point where he didn't even want to see us, even though, you know, my family is a carpenter, so we deal with them anyway, but he, on that issue, he wouldn't even talk to my father about it. So kept praying, and the Lord turned them around, so much so that we went in there just for Thanksgiving, and everything he told us to do, he says, "No, just don't worry about it. Just do this little bit here, you'll be fine." And so we give the Lord great praise for that. If we hadn't have done that, we'd have had to do a whole lot of money, a whole lot more time, and it would have been very difficult. So that's in the building. Also, as we were meeting in a home, before we got in the building, we'd been praying that the Lord would fill our seats. We had 16 chairs that had been given to us from another church, and we wanted to see them filled before we moved into the new building. So the last 2 weeks that we met in the home before we got into the building, the Lord sent us a family, and they filled up the seats. We had 16 people in the congregation, and they stayed, you know, for those 2 weeks, and they've been with us ever since, about the beginning of May, or March, rather. So we thank the Lord for that. They're a good family. They've helped us with the piano, and they have a good, humble spirit about them. They're rejoicing in the Lord, and we're rejoicing in their fellowship and their help and support in the work there. The Lord has also enabled us to do door-to-door work and other means of evangelism in the community. And so far, we haven't really had a lot of response, but we'd ask you to remember us in that way, that some of the literature was the Gospel of John's, and some was tracts and sermon tapes, other things. Just ask you the Lord would bless those in those homes that it's in, that He might save some and bring some out to the church as well. I know I had sent down, I think, and you probably saw the invitation for opening services at the end of March, the beginning of April. We had 3 services, a Friday, Saturday, and then a Sunday morning service that we advertised. And the Lord was gracious to us. We had about 35 or so on the evening services, and probably 45 or so on the Lord's Day morning. Some of them were from the community. Some were friends, different parts of the state that wanted to come. But the Lord did give help in the preaching. Had unsaved people there, some Roman Catholics and others. So they heard the Word. They heard the Gospel. And again, we thank you for praying for that. And we'd note to know the Lord to bless that as well. So right now, at this current time, we still have the 17 of us that regularly attend the worship services and the prayer meeting. So we thank the Lord for that. And I would like to leave one request with you. It kind of encompasses maybe the whole work there. When I was considering where to go when I was finishing up my seminary, I was reading through the Scriptures. And this particular day, though, I had just thought of another verse I wanted to look up. And I looked that up. Anyway, I went down the page and I found this other verse. And it was in Genesis 32:9. It says, "Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." And we can say that in many ways the Lord has dealt well with us, both in our souls and our living there and various other things of work in that nature. But we'd like to see the Lord deal well with our church as well, as a church, in saving souls, in sanctifying us, going on to deeper work. You know, many times we in the Reformed faith and Free Church, we lament the shallowness of other churches. But, you know, if the Lord doesn't do it for us, we'll be just as shallow. We may have the forms, the creeds. We just want to pray the Lord would make those things dear to our hearts, that we would feel, experience the truth that we preach, that we pray for, and that we hold to. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Lee Sterrett. I'm from Prince George, British Columbia. That's in the central interior of BC. Been there 6 years. And I would have to say this past year has been the most challenging year in the ministry for me. And you will understand what I mean when I tell you our church has the oversight of the work in Victoria, which is the work of the Reverend Aaron Dunlop. So you can sympathize with me. It's been a great challenge. But seriously, we have known some difficulties this year. It has been a tough year for me in the work. We've lost a couple of families this past year. And it's been very hard, and really had to seek the Lord and ask for the Lord's help. And I would ask for you to pray for the church there, that the Lord would replace those families and bring in other solid families to the work. There have been encouragements among our young people. There are some of our young people who need much prayer. They're not going on well with the Lord. Our church has the task of hosting and planning the youth camp, summer youth camp, for the Western Canadian churches. And we enjoy that task. It's been a blessing. And in February, we had a baptismal service for young people giving testimony as to the Lord's grace in their life. And hearing those testimonies, it was just wonderful to hear how the Lord especially used the time at camp to speak to these young people about the Lord's will for their life and about knowing the Lord and going on with the Lord. And that was a real encouragement. So do pray for the youth camp. Pray for the preparation. Our people really enjoy the camp and lending a hand there and look forward to it every year. But this year, the Bible quiz will focus on the book of Acts, and we're really praying that the Lord will come down and the power of His Spirit would be evident. A few years ago, when we moved to this new camp facility, our first camp there, the Lord really came down and blessed us in a mighty way, and there were seasons of great prayer and brokenness and young people seeking the Lord, and we're looking for the Lord to do that again in our church. Do pray for other youth outreaches. We have a weekly children's Bible club that just commenced last month, and we're praying that the Lord will use that to reach our children as well. There is one prayer request I'd like to leave especially with you concerning a young family in our church, a young couple. A young man's a deacon in our church, a solid young man, fully behind the work. But they have a little 2-year-old boy, just turned 2 in April. And for the last year, he's had some serious health issues, having seizures and being in and out of hospital and seeing doctors. And a lot of it is a mystery to the doctors. And they're really having a hard time right now coping with it. Seeing their little boy enduring these seizures every day for a year. And they had dietary problems, wasn't eating, he's not gaining weight. You know, they were tube feeding him. And a number of issues there. And they really need your prayers at this time. They need to know the Lord's grace and strength and direction for the future as to what to do for their little boy. So do pray for them. I know the Free Presbyterian Church is a family church, and it has been our emphasis over the years to pray for one another and people from the various congregations as we meet here for a week like this, a number of our ministers and elders coming up and asking how they're doing. That's just wonderful. That's an encouragement. That speaks of the family fellowship that our church enjoys. So do continue to pray for them. Stephen and Jennifer Petka, their little 2-year-old boy, Kevin, and continue to keep the work before the Lord and pray that new families would come in. Thank you.
Knowing Mr. Brame as I do, I thought he was going to say, it came to me, last but certainly not least. For those of you who were not here in that 20th anniversary, whatever the church had here in Bob Jones, I told the story of Mr. Brame and I in a flea market in Florida many years ago. There was a 20X shirt for sale. He said, "I ought to buy it." It had on the front, "I beat anorexia." I'm glad he's learned to be much more gracious. My name is John Wagner. I am from Columbia, South Carolina, the pastor of Covenant Free Presbyterian Church. We're coming up on 5 years this September, and the Lord has been very merciful to us in Columbia. After 3 years, the Lord enabled us to constitute the work there and to open up a new church building at the same time. That's a word of encouragement to all these men who have gone out and planted churches. We were told when I was in what was known in those days as the Theological Hall that you could plan on 10 years before you got to the starting point. You could take encouragement. That's not always true. Within 3 years, the Lord did move and bring a people together and gave us a building in the process. That's all due to grace, free and sovereign grace, and we thank Him for that. We're glad to be in Carolina. As they say here, nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina. We enjoy the fellowship with the church here. It's good just being an hour and a half away. And we want to thank you for your prayers. As I think most all of you know, my wife was diagnosed with a brain tumor a little over a year and a half ago. All of the good blessing of the Lord is mixed also with sorrows and troubles. And we want to thank you for your prayers for her. The Lord has done remarkable things for my wife and my family and has given us all the grace that we have needed day by day just to, if I can borrow the term, to plow on, just to carry on the work of God and trust in the Lord's goodness and His mercy to us. We ask you to continue to pray for us, our family, that we will have that grace that is needed. And pray for the work there. Four things in particular, please, that we'd ask you to pray for. One is a radio broadcast. We've tried not opening up, but seeing if doors would open for that. It's not happened yet. But we would ask you that this God, who is nothing too hard for Him, that He would open up for us a radio broadcast in the Columbia area. Secondly, we'd ask you to pray for a real work of evangelism to be done. I know all of our churches cry out for that, but it's something that the Lord has been particularly laying upon our hearts. It's so easy and in the work of God, if you are a minister, to sit there and, so to speak, and expect people just to come in. And that's just not how it works. It requires us going out. We can prepare sermons and preach our hearts out, but it's going to require some footwork. And we want you to pray with us that the pastor, as well as the people, will get busy with the footwork in the area. We have a lot of folks traveling some distance to come to the church. One particular surgeon travels with his family about an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes on Sundays to get there. It's kind of hard to invite people, "Come visit my church, would you," when you're that far away. So what we're asking the Lord to do is, within the community of Lexington, which is a sort of a suburb of Columbia, that from the area, that God would bring in sinners and save those sinners, and the church would see growth from the local area. So please do pray with us for that. Thirdly, we would ask you to pray for an election for deacons that will be coming up in the will of God sometime in June. This will be our first election, and we thank the Lord for getting to that point, but we want the knowledge of God's will in that. So we rejoice in that leading of the Lord, that there are men who can't hold that office in the church, and we ask you to pray with us along those lines. Finally, there is a week of meetings coming up just after the week of prayer in October. The Reverend John Greer is coming for a week of meetings. We would ask you to please remember those meetings in October. You have an invitation to come to visit with us during that week. And that's all the request I have. Thank you for your prayers, and may the Lord smile upon us and bless our labors as we plow on in His field.
I'm grateful for being given a few extra minutes that's legally given, and We'll try to stay within the time frame. Mark Allison from, I think sometime this Monrovia, Pennsylvania, or Malvern, Liberia. It's hard to know what planets you're on at times going back and forth. But we do thank you as a congregation for loaning us Dyke and Lindsay over this past year. Dyke's been a great blessing to us in his teaching and preaching ministry. He's helped Dr. Dotson and I immensely. And also he went on the trip with us to Liberia, where he was also a great help as part of the team that went there to minister God's Word. I'm going to speak to you just for a few minutes on the three mission fields that we are laboring in as the North American Free Presbyterian Church. 2 years ago, when we formed the mission board, we started with our first missionary, Kathy Walker. We had a challenge before us of raising the funds to get her to the mission field. The Lord graciously provided through our churches, and she now has been there for a whole year. George McConnell, who is part of the mission board in Northern Ireland, went with us to Liberia, and I was asking him how she was doing, and he had nothing but praise for our sister and the work that she's doing there in Kenya. Two of the ladies who worked there full-time have gone on furlough, one for 6 months, came back, the other one for 6 months. So Kathy has been sharing their lodging, going from one place to the next place, but I believe they are now digging the footers and starting to put up a building that she will call her own. So continue to pray for her. She was given some, I think they're called melody chimes, and they came to Kenya for use, and she was able to put them to good use at the closing of this last assembly, and the Lord bless through the playing of that musical instrument. So continue to pray for her. She asks prayer, I think, every time she writes an email concerning her work. She is constantly asking you to pray for her. So please continue your prayers. When we met for the week of prayer last year, one of the nights the mission board had took us to about 1 in the morning because we were trying to figure out what to do with Jamaica. Jamaica has been a great blessing. God has used his servants in that mission field. There have been people saved, and yet there is going through a hard time. There is certainly a need of a missionary to go, and that night was a very discouraging night where we ended in prayer, just committing the whole work there in Jamaica to the Lord. It's amazing now, standing a year later, that the Lord in the summertime raised up a man to go, a man who'd been there before, our brother Paul Fitzsimons. In fact, Larry Saunders and Graham Middleton were down there in August of this last summer, and one of the questions they asked those in the congregation, if you could have back one of the men who have been there previous, who would you like? And almost every man said, we'd like Paul Fitzsimons. And the Lord touched his heart independent of that, and he came to us in Colombia to the mission board and to the presbytery meeting, and we gave him approval based on whether or not he'd get approval in Northern Ireland to indeed be the missionary again in Jamaica. But once that approval was granted, then we had the daunting task of raising, again, the finances for his going. We figured it would take, for 4 years, $160,000 Canadian. Now, that's a lot of money. We're not rich churches. We're not many churches in many respects. And yet he did deputation in Northern Ireland. The people in Northern Ireland were very generous. I think one church alone gave all the money necessary for them to buy the airline tickets to go back to Jamaica, which was something close to $7,000 U.S. or Canadian. And then through the deputation in Northern Ireland, there is another $30,000, which would take in almost a year and a half of the salary that he would need there, and the money's expenses that would be needed there in the first year and a half as a missionary again in Jamaica. He's been around to our churches, and we're happy to report today to the presbytery that the first 3 years of his time in Jamaica has been raised, and we think we might have actually raised all 4 years. We're still looking at the books and still looking at what's coming in, and we're hoping that that is the case. We're very close to it if it's not, which is amazing that in just a few months, $160,000 could be raised to send a man to the mission field for 4 years. And we believe that's a token for good, that indeed God wants his servant there again, and that the Lord is going to bless mightily while he is there. We're asking him as well to undertake the teaching of Brian, who has been one of the preachers holding down the fort, as it were, in Jamaica over these last few years. And we're going to try to train him to the point that we can license him and hopefully in the end ordain him. So please pray for our brother Fitzsimons. They hope to go by the end of June to Jamaica. Pray the Lord would indeed continue to open that door and that he would know the mighty presence of God in Jamaica. Let me personally thank you for your prayers for Liberia and our last trip there. We were experiencing the Lord's answers to prayer every day we were there, and we're conscious of the fact that people were praying for us. It was a difficult trip. We crammed in as much as you could in 2 weeks. I don't think normally on the mission field you try to do that much as we did, but we paid a lot of money to get there and only had a short time to labor, and the Lord certainly helped us. We had a baptismal service there where there were 14 people baptized. Probably none of them had ever been in the ocean before because they're scared to death of it. So we conquered two things. One, the fear of the ocean, and the second, the fear of giving testimony before your peers. But it was a joyous time to have a baptismal service where they were confessing Christ. This baptismal service was made up of people from four churches. We are actually dealing with four churches in Liberia. There's a church that we have made a mission church there in Painesville. And then there are two churches in Garnersville, which is next a suburb of Painesville. Painesville is a suburb of Monrovia. So as you go further out, you come to Garnersville. And then if you go 4 or 5 hours away, you come to a place called River Cess. We have not been to River Cess yet, but we hope one day to make that journey. We had sessions dealing with 12 pastors from those churches that I've just mentioned and from 3 or 4 other churches. Three of these churches asked to become Free Presbyterian. We had to tell them, slow up the process with them, telling them that you really don't understand what we're about yet. We want you to do more reading, more study. And if you do agree with us, then we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But they sat through all of our workshops nonetheless on the Book of Church Order, as well as our preaching services. And we're trusting the Lord will use even that sowing the seed in those other churches for His glory. We were able to visit two of these four churches that we had not seen before. One of the churches has about 80 people that attend. It's out in the middle of nowhere, you would think. You take the paved road back into what's called Garnersville, then you go off on a dirt road. You take that back a while, and you go down another dirt road back a while, jogging through the potholes that are in the dirt road, and all of a sudden you've got this church in the middle of nowhere. Not like a church we would have, more of a pavilion with a tin roof or a zinc roof on top of it. And there was 80 people there worshiping. Extreme poverty. They started a Christian school because most of the kids cannot go to school. And they have 225 students in that school from the grades kindergarten through sixth grade. And we asked why you have not gone into junior high. They said, we just don't have another building. They've given us a request, if we can fulfill it, to put up another building, and we hope to be able to do that for them. They've been teaching our Separate Under the Gospel, the Westminster Confession, over this last year, and they've been received now to be a mission church alongside of the other mission church in Painesville. We went to the third congregation, which is in Garnersville. There's one in Painesville, Garnersville, which I just mentioned, and then the third congregation. This was a congregation where we provided some zinc plates for the roof. They had two-thirds of the roof covered before, but they had one-third of it open. The last Sunday we were there, we experienced one of their rainfalls, and it was crazy. I've never experienced such rain, even in Greenville. We were under a thatched roof, and you could not be heard two pews in with it raining on the thatched roof. In fact, I had to go and stand in the middle at the communion service to be heard just by 2 or 3 pews. They went and got a bullhorn, and I could be heard by maybe 5 or 6 more pews, but the 100 people that were there were having trouble hearing me just because of the loudness of the rain. And that was just for 2 hours. In the rainy season, it's like that 15 hours a day, almost every day. Well, we were standing under this pastor's roof. He had about 60 people. He has a congregation around 80, but he had about 60 people there. And he pointed up and he showed us the zinc that was added to the roof. And he said when it would rain, which was more than half the year, he said we just have to gather together over under the spot where the rain wasn't coming down because it was all coming in where that one open area was. With the money that we provided, which wasn't a lot for them, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $300, they were able to buy the rest of the zinc and put cement pillars up to hold the roof. They had these poles holding up the roof, and when the man came to put the pillars up, he every time he touched a pole, it fell down. And he said to the pastor, "How are you holding this roof up?" And he just said, "God's holding it up." And that was the only answer he could give. The people were extremely grateful. And when we came to them representing our denomination, the pastor was just overwhelmed. And he said to the congregation, "Here are people who just met us. And because we know the Lord and we're preaching the gospel, they're willing to help us do something in order to carry on the ministry here in Liberia." The fourth congregation in Riverset, as I said, we have not been to yet. It was interesting that we had a three nights of crusade there in Painesville along the main road. We were renting a parking lot, a huge parking lot of a building that was no longer being used. And the Lord came down on the middle night, which would have been Thursday night. I was sharing with the men that would have been the night after our congregations had prayed on Wednesday and Tuesday night. This would have been the first service after that. And it's no surprise that God came and answered on that night. There was something like 30 or 40 people that came to the platform after the service asking for salvation. When we got done with the meeting, it was actually about half of those who were coming to Christ for the first time. One of those that came to Christ that night was from Riverset. He is a Muslim, taxi cab driver. He came by the service the first night of our meeting, which was the night before. It was interesting that we were without a loudspeaker part of that message. Halfway through, the loudspeaker went out, and by the cars going by and the other generator keeping the one light bulb going that was over us, you could hardly be heard at all. And near the end of the message, where the invitation was being given, they got the speaker system working again. Well, this guy was driving a taxi cab by the place we were meeting. He heard the message, that last part of the message. He turned around to come and hear the rest of the message. Well, it was all over. And he said that the next night after the service, he said, "I couldn't get away from what I heard, and I had to come back." And so the next night he came back and was saved. A man probably in his late 50s, early 60s. And these pastors from Riverset were overwhelmed because they knew this fellow. He's a Muslim. And they knew his brother, who's an evangelist in their area. And they were just overwhelmed that God had saved them that night. And they were going to take up the challenge then of helping him grow in grace. So those are the four churches that we are dealing with. The one in Painesville, which we started. And then these other three. We also started a bookstore when we were there. To say the least, it's the best bookstore in Liberia. I'm not saying that as bragging. There's just not a lot of competition. The one or two stores that we found saying that what they were selling was junk might be an insult to junk. It was just not very good at all. The Mission Board in Northern Ireland, through the burden of our brother George McConnell, took it upon themselves. When George saw the need last time we were there a year ago, took it upon themselves to try to raise the funds to buy books and send them into Liberia. So they did that, over 50 boxes, ton and a half of books, and those books were brought in. Paul Sikanje and George found a building. They spent a whole week renovating the building, and then the last day we were there, last morning we were there, we opened the bookstore. We've told you about the poverty of the country. The books are being sold at Liberian rates. Nobody's making money on these books. Anything that's being sold, what little is coming in, is not going back to Northern Ireland. It's going to help pay the salary of the few people that are doing the work of selling the books. It's on the main road. Everybody's driving by this bookstore. We opened up a patio in front of the bookstore with an awning on top of it so they could come and sit and read there. And with that, the man running the bookstore, he calls himself Evangelist Jones. Our brother loves to witness about Christ, and so when they come to read the books, he's there telling them about the Lord. The book that's selling the most is the Bible. They've already sold out all the Bibles that they had, and George McConnell now is raising funds, and our people in Northern Ireland again are giving very generously to replace those Bibles and any other books that our brother George feels are beneficial to the outreach there in Liberia. There is a great need. I know that Dyke spoke of that need. You can also hear something of our testimony on sermon audio. There is a DVD that we have produced on this second trip. It's already been uploaded, I believe, to sermon audio where you can see it. All the ministers will have a copy, Lord willing, before they leave that they can show to their churches dealing with our second trip to Liberia. There's also a blog site. I guess that's what you call it. I'm not quite sure. But it's called HaBeggarInLiberia.blogspot. Is that right? Blogspot. Where is Dyke? Is that it? .com. All right. So if you go there, you'll see pictures. You go there, you also see his day-by-day journal of what transpired and how he viewed it while he was there. One of the last things we did when we were there was meet with a man who asked John McKnight, who is the president of the ACCC, if they could do something to help the churches in Liberia. John says, well, we have a pastor from America going there. You'd be happy to meet with him. So we met with a man by the name of Josiah Paul. Josiah Paul, in the interim government, was actually one of the members of Congress as well as a pastor of a church. And he represents a group of churches in Liberia of about 85, I think he calls it. Some of those would obviously be of a Pentecostal stripe. Some would be independent, whatever. It's hard to know by the names they put on their churches exactly what they believe. But he came across the last day we were there. And he talked and he asked what we believed. We told him what our beliefs were, what we trusting in the Lord. He brought two of his young men with him and had a good time of fellowship. And he said to us, he said, can you train our men for the ministry? So we've got 85 churches. Can you train our men for the ministry? That's the request that we were given the first time we were there. It's the request that is still there by our own men that we're working with. Train us. We're doing the work. We need training. And here, I told them, I said, if we did, we'd train them under what we believe. If they'd be welcome to come and sit under the teaching of the Word, and we train them that way. But there's a wide open door right now in Liberia. Don't know how long the door will remain open, but it's wide open. But please pray that the Lord would help in our endeavors in that field of service, and that He would raise up a man to go who would spend the time necessary in the training of these young men, that we might license them with the hopes one day of ordaining them to the gospel ministry. Pray that the Lord would meet that need there in Liberia. Thank you.